And now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Morning. Hold up your Bibles and we'll jump right in. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. 3 weeks ago, I started a new series entitled Prepare for Battle. It's a study to the letter of the Ephesians chapter 6 on the armor of God. Now, I told you then, and I'll remind you again, the letter to the Ephesian church, unlike most letters in the New Testament, was what they call a circular letter. It was a letter that was sent to a region of churches, not just one church. Again, why is that significant? Well, it's significant because it's a letter to the body of Christ as a whole. Is that you? That's us, right? And so to me, there's a real relevance to the letter to the Ephesians and a lot of the Pauline letters. There's a lot of relevance even in society today and to us being Christians and followers of Jesus even today. Amen? All right. So we got to the place in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. If you want to put it up there, Ephesians 6, 10. We get to that word finally. And I told you when I began a study and I got to the word finally, I was enamored with the word finally. And I'm like, okay, God, why did Paul thought to write the word finally here? And it was a stop. It's almost like God, he put a stop sign there and said, hold up a second. Don't go any further. And before you go any further, look back for a few minutes at some of the things I've already done. It's going to be very difficult for us to go forward, remember, and to receive what God has for us if we don't remember what God did for us, right? So chapter one, I went through each chapter and took a little piece and just kind of give you a highlight of some of the truths contained in chapters 1 through 5. Today, and then the next week I went back and said, okay, in chapter one, here's a real heavy-duty spiritual truth I want you to take with you. And that truth was found in chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul tells us just how highly favored we really are. I want you to know, when I say that you're highly favored, it just doesn't do the word justice. Remember, I told you that the word used, the words freely given as used in chapter 1, verse 6, is the Greek, what's the Greek word? Oh, charitu is the Greek word. And the Greek word means highly favored. The only time that word is used in the entire Bible is one other time when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you who are highly favored. We read that in the English language, but in the Greek language, it means charitu. So same word. So the same word that the angel told Mary, Mary, you're highly favored enough to carry the Christ in you. Church, you're highly favored to the same level that Mary was. Amen? That's pretty powerful. So you're, say it with me, Sam, highly, 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 highly favored. It's hard to say a bunch of times, isn't it? The next week, chapter 2, I reinforced the fact that you're saved because of, in verse 4 of chapter 2, his great love for us. Remember, we're saved because of his great love for us, and we're saved by grace through faith. And I told you that if we're going to really experience the fullness of our salvation, it'll have to be done by faith, right? And we begin to walk in that, and we begin to live by faith. And as we live by faith and we realize that this grace of God, this unearned, unmerited favor of God is a gift of God. Amen? Amen. And continuing today, I'm going to take another piece as we get to that word finally again. And the other piece is going to be found in chapter 3. So turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to study a few minutes there, and then we're going to jump into the word for today, or the piece of armor that we're putting on today, which is the gospel of peace. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Heirs. Suklorenamos. That's the Greek word. Suklorenamos. Took me a week to learn how to say that. This is what the word means. Participants in common, having the same rights and privileges as an original. Now, I want you to understand, the Israelites were God's chosen people. He went to them and he said, hey, of all the peoples on the earth, you, your race, your people, you're my people. And up to the point of Jesus coming into the world, they were his people, and they were the only people of the earth that were his people. Remember, God destroyed a lot of other peoples. And then came Jesus, right? And with Jesus brought this saved by grace through faith and not of works so that no one can boast. And here it is, he says, I've made you heirs together just like the original, just like the Israelites. You're now part of the family. Say, I'm part of the family. And you know what we say at New Beginnings? When you hear, there you go. See, Olive Garden stole that from me. Remember in recess in elementary school? How many of you remember elementary school? Some of y'all too old to remember that. Recess. And you would play all these games and we would pick teams, right? And how many of you were the kids, don't raise your hand. How many of you were the kids who didn't get picked or got picked last? It wasn't that terrible. Like, you know, you feel rejected, you feel left out, and all the kids are getting picked because they're good athletes or whatever, and you're just sitting there waiting, all right, I guess we'll take him. I mean, you know, it's not like that in the family of God. Amen. What we just read in Ephesians chapter 3 is that we're loved and accepted, right? We're accepted by God. We're chosen. So look at your neighbor and tell him, say, you're chosen. Now, I want you to get this. And you know, you weren't chosen last. You weren't chosen as a last resort or just, all right, well, I guess he's the only one left. I guess we'll take him. Guess we'll take Mel. I take Mel. No, so this is what God did, Mel. He said, no, Mel, I choose you first. You know, Lisa, he chose you first, too. Tim, he chose you first. Brad, you too. Oh, and Shalana, I see you back there. He chose you, too. Kelly, I see you back there. And God said, hey, Kelly, I chose you first. You're not last place, Kelly. You're first place. Yeah, Bobby Joe, you too. She's looking around. And Melissa, with your new baby right there. I want you to know God chose you first. And I want you to understand that when God looks at you, he doesn't see last place. He doesn't see second best. He sees first. And he says, you're special. And I want you to know, in Christ, you are chosen and accepted. Don't ever forget that. Week number one of the message series, I talked about preparing for battle. We have to begin to walk in our new identity. We have to begin to stand strong and don't quit. Don't ever forget that. Week number two, I talked about putting the belt of truth on. And the belt of truth keeps us centered and balanced. And being centered and balanced and protected from all sides because I'm immersed in the Word of God. Since I preached that, I've had people tell me, hey, you know, Pastor, since you preached that, I've been waking up every day and getting in the Word first thing in the morning. How many of you have begun to do that? Get in the Word first thing. Oh, look at this. Let me just tell you. Don't tell the first service, but you're a much more spiritual group than I'm just saying. I wouldn't say that to them face to face because you might make them feel bad, but you are obviously a much more spiritual group of people than they were. Because, Kevin, you were in the first service, so. I'm just kidding. Today, last week, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And remember, we have to keep putting it on. And I want you to know, the number one way you keep putting on the breastplate of righteousness, because the world and your enemy is going to keep trying to take it off, is you keep putting it on by faith. Hey, I wake up every day. Yeah, I'm not sure of what's next, but I know who knows.
His name is Jesus, and I keep putting the breastplate of righteousness. He calls me righteous. He calls you righteous. He calls us children of God, and we put the breastplate on to protect our hearts. Remember, the word heart, as used throughout the New Testament, is the word that it means your mind, will, and emotions. So we have to protect those things, and we put that over our heart to protect those things from the lies that we'll hear and believe. Amen? Amen. Today, we're going to talk about putting on the gospel of peace, or having our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's start reading in verse 10. I want to read a few verses for you. Verse 10, finally, there it is, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Why do you suppose the gospel of peace should be on our feet? And I believe the reason for the placement of the gospel of peace on our feet is because we get to take the peace of God with us everywhere we go. You know that you can choose to leave some things when you leave. I can leave you with chaos. I can leave you with disdain. I can leave you angry. I can leave you all kind of, or I can leave you in peace. Isn't it much nicer to leave a peaceful trail? So we put the gospel of feet on our peace, and everywhere we go, we carry peace. Amen? Amen. At least I do. Do you? Amen. Are you leaving the peace of God, or are you leaving turmoil and uneasiness? The word fitted is the Greek word hupadeo. Say hupadeo. Hupadeo. I just wanted to hear you say it because it's funny. It means to put on or to bind on. So we have a choice to walk in the peace of God, or because it's part and parcel of the fruit of the Spirit, or not. So I want you to know, how many of you remember when you came to Christ? Yes. All right, so when you came to Christ, and you got the Holy Spirit, right? He gave you the fruit of the Spirit. But isn't it beautiful that the fruit of the Spirit doesn't just come in and take over? It doesn't, I didn't just get saved and all of a sudden I became kind and gentle, because I'm still not that way, right? I didn't just all of a sudden develop this incredible amount of self-control. Am I the only one? Because you're making me feel spiritually inferior at this minute. See, the fruit doesn't just come in and take over your will when you get saved. It's kind of like a muscle. How many of you work out? The remote control is not considered a workout, I'm just saying. And lifting your feet to put them on the coffee table, that is not a rep. No, well, see, when you work out, don't you love that every year somebody comes out with a new workout, and the new workout has less work involved in it? Better results, less work. Listen to me. It don't work. If you're going to work out, it's going to require some work. That's why the first word is work. And you know what I've learned about my muscles? It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. The more I exercise them, did we just lose power here? The more I exercise them, the bigger they get and the stronger they get. Now, it's not as easy the older I get. But when I was younger, that was really much easier, a much easier thing to do. And I want you to know, as you're walking with God, the younger you are in the faith, the easier it is to develop those things than when you get older in the faith, because we get into some bad habits, right? So we have to make a conscious effort to walk in the fruit and exercise the fruit in order for the fruit to become evident in our lives. And so it's just like that with the peace of God, right? Look what he said in verse 13 of Ephesians 6. He said, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Now, I know we're all hoping that the day of evil will bypass your house. Go next door. They need you next door. I don't really need, right? Now, I want you to know, I'm going to give you a bit of bad news today, and I don't like doing that from the pulpit. This is supposed to be good news. is the day of evil is probably going to come to your house at some point. Do you know why? We live in a fallen world and we live amongst fallen people, and sometimes bad things happen to good people, right? Don't be discouraged. I want you to understand those things that happen in your life as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, are there not to destroy, well, they're there to destroy you, but as a believer and follower of Jesus, it can either destroy you or it can promote you. So, but you get to decide, am I going to allow this issue, this situation that's happening to me to destroy me or to promote me? I choose promotion, right? How about you? Now, why do I choose promotion? Am I just making this stuff up? No, I'm not making it up. It comes from the Bible, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Put it up there. Look what it says. And we know that in, what's those two words right there?
All.
Now, I got to ask a question because I'm usually a little slower than most. Does all things mean all things? Does that include everything? I'm pretty sure that all things includes everything, right? And he says, in all things, God works for what? The good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Now, regardless of what you're going through at this time, listen, something good can come of your day of evil. When you love God, right? God, I love you. Listen, my goal at New Beginnings is to get you to fall in love, not with New Beginnings. I want you to fall in love with Jesus. And I know sometimes when I'm talking to guys, that sounds weird. Man, you got to fall in love with Jesus, the man Jesus. And guys are like, that's kind of weird. I don't know about just falling in love. Listen to me. It's not weird. The creator of the universe, your creator, the one who's the lover of your soul, said, I loved you first, and I want you to love me the same way. And when you love God with your whole heart, guess what starts to happen? Start to walk in his peace, right? Now, look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. It says, our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We have our feet fitted. We put on, or we bind on with this gospel. The gospel, the euangelion, the good news or the good message. How many of you like to watch the news? Any news watchers in the house? Fox and all those news channels. I don't watch any of them. You know why? I've learned something, especially over the last two and a half years. It's all bad news. But the other day, I did see a piece of good news. Maybe you saw it on local social media sites. So we have a young man from our church who's William Noretto, who's a special needs young man. And William Noretto started working out with a lady here in Mandeville at CrossFit Mandeville doing a workout for special needs kids. And that little class started in December and has now grown to 5 classes a week. That's how many kids, special needs kids, are getting involved. That was some good news. And so I did see that good news. But let's be honest, for the most part, it ain't nothing but bad news. There are days I'll put it on just to hear the weather, and Peggy's like, turn it off. I can't deal with the news. Another 15 murders in New Orleans today, you know. 3 more carjackings, and you're like, golly, I don't even want to go, right? Because it's so much bad news in our world, amen? Now, in Christ, you have good news, amen? And I want you to know, everything in the Bible is good news. 7,200 promises all for you. Whew, how many of you are fulfilling your 7,200? When I got saved, I'm like, God, I want them all. I don't even know what they are, but I want them all. Now, here's the good news for you today. In Christ, you have peace. Now, peace, as used in the New Testament, is the Greek word eirene. And it means, really, this is kind of the definition, to be set at one again. In other words, I was knocked out of center. I was knocked off balance by some situations and circumstances that I faced. And because of Christ in my life, because of Jesus, I've now been back brought to center. I'm now balanced. I'm back where I belong, back in the middle. He's the center. He's got me centered. Everything is good, all because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I've been realigned. because of his good plan and purpose, not shaken by the happenings of the world around me. Now, as we continue to prepare for the spiritual battle that we're in, this next piece of armor, the gospel of peace, is vital. Listen, as we prepare for battle, I want you to know three important facts about the gospel of peace. Number one, it's a choice you make. Say, it's a choice. Now, so some people feel like you either have peace or you don't. Your situations determine whether you have peace or not. What I'm going through is going to be the determining factor of how my day is going to go. Not necessarily. Because here, Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 1, says some very, very powerful words in John 14, 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Now, let me say, I'm going to unpack that for you for a minute. Do not let, when he says the words do not let, that means I have a choice. I get to choose. Am I going to allow the situations and circumstances that are coming against me to take what doesn't belong to it? As a follower of Jesus, what did I just tell you? We have the fruit of the Spirit, and part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. I already own it. I already have it. And this situation or this circumstance that I'm facing is coming to take what doesn't belong to it. No, I'm going to choose peace. Excuse me. You got to go, right? I'm not going to be disrupted. Don't get me wrong. Do we all get bad news from time to time? Right? We all get bad news from time to time, but we get to decide, am I going to allow the bad news to take what doesn't belong to it? Or am I going to walk in peace? See, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. The word troubled is the Greek word terazo, and it means to be agitated or without peace and harmony. So I get to choose. Am I going to go through life without peace and harmony or with the peace of God that I already own as a follower of God? Amen? Tells me I have a choice. Agitation or peace, your choice. Now, I use this terminology, and I don't want to sound arrogant when I say it, but what I typically say when something is going on around me that I don't want to be part of me is I say, I'm not participating. And I never forget when COVID happened in 2020, I told the staff, we're not participating. It's not going to do it. So, you know, we did what we were supposed to do. The first 8 weeks, we closed the church like most every other church did. And then on May 17th, 2020, when the governor reopened, what did I tell you, staff? I said, we ain't never closing the doors again. We are not closing. There's been a few bouts through the last couple of years of COVID going through our church and people getting sick and pockets. I even got sick. I called Carla. Carla, you're on for Sunday, girl. She's like, but I'm not ready. I'll send you my message. Listen. I told every one of them, be prepared and have somebody waiting in the wings just in case. We're not closing church because of COVID. We're not closing church because of anything. Now, we can allow the world and its bad news to take the peace that it doesn't own, or I can reject the information that's trying to cause agitation and walk in peace. I reject the information that's attempting to cause agitation in my life, and I'm going to walk in peace. I mean, so what... I've been told all kinds of things as a pastor through the years. You ain't disrupting my peace. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. What did Jesus say in John 14, 1? You believe in God, believe also in me. He said that after he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. So here's the secret. Believing in Jesus, following Jesus, is a secret to owning and having the peace of God that transcends understanding. Amen? He makes a statement. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, when we make the choice to follow Jesus, we're saying that we trust you, we put our faith in you, and we're going to walk with you regardless of what happens around me. Listen, and with that decision of trusting Jesus, you know what I get? Everything he has. Everything he owns, you own. You know why? You're an heir. Anybody need some perfect peace? Okay, it's like three of y'all. I said, did anybody need some perfect peace?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Number two, so it's a choice we make. Number two, it's a belief we carry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Look at the words. At all times and in every way, the Lord will be with all of you. Listen, the Apostle Paul writing these words to the church at Thessalonica, if we've gotten to the place in our lives where we've accepted Jesus, listen to me, you already have the peace of God. You don't need to ask, Jesus, give me some peace. You're a believer. Don't ask for what you already own. It'd be like you saying, Lord, give me some money, and you got a pocket full. That's what most believers are like that. Lord, please give me peace. He's like, I already gave it to you. It's called the Holy Spirit living in you. You got fruit of the Spirit. Now just walk in it. Exercise it. Build it. Jesus, you'll still be crying. I've noticed the more of this you believe, the more you walk in it. The more you experience peace, the more you walk in it. You know, at first, listen, now this perfect peace that I'm talking about, having this peace, it doesn't come natural. It doesn't come easy. It's not automatic. It's something that you have to work at. So I live in peace today after 22 years of ministry. I want you to know it hasn't always been this way. Just being real, right? And so what happens is I've learned, though, to say, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna let this thing disrupt what God is doing in my life. So I go to Him and I just pray, Lord, correct my thoughts. Don't give me peace. I already own that. Help me correct my thoughts. Get my thoughts on You. Put them where they belong, so that I could have what I already own. And then what starts to rise up in me? Faith starts to rise up in me. Peace starts to rise up in me, and I start to feel confident. I start to feel good again, at peace again. I'm brought back to center. Everything is good again. Does it mean the situation's fixed? Absolutely not. Many times the situations never get fixed. This is what it is. You got to walk in it. It's a belief we carry. If you don't have peace, here's the question. Do you believe you own it? Number three, so it's a choice we make, it's a belief we carry, and number three, it's an evidence we display. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, look what he says, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, when I start to practice what I preach, the God of peace is with me. See, you ever heard people say, well, you know, I know he loves me. I know he says he loves me all the time, but his actions don't line up with his words. That ever happened? If it's the person sitting next to you, don't look. That happens from time to time, right? Is that somebody will say something to you. I had somebody say something to me one time. Hey, Pastor, we're gonna leave the church, but you know, we're family. Really? I said, that's funny you say that. Because see, I got my family right here on the front row. Y'all not leaving the church, huh? Why? Because we're family, right? See, that's the difference. We have to get to the place where our actions start to line up with what we say we believe. And we actually do what God says we should do. Yes. When you believe something's true, your behavior usually follows. Oh, yeah, I got the peace of God. Nothing's going to disrupt my peace. Did you hear about COVID? Oh, my God, what are we going to do? There's more murders in New Orleans. There's more carjackings. What are we going to do? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't live there. I tell you what, I'm not going there. How about that? You see dummy written somewhere right here? I like my car. This is a public service announcement. I'm just kidding. I'll be getting sued by the city of New Orleans, right? You ever heard the saying, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right? Now, as a believer, that takes a whole new meaning. You know, there was a guy one day that said, hey, I want to climb Mount Everest. And he did. There was another guy many years ago who said, I want to run the 4-minute mile. Never been done before. And he did. There was a guy about 22 years ago who said God had called him to full-time ministry and he left his industry. That was all he knew. That's where his livelihood came from. And he walked away and he's been serving God. Here it is. Listen to me. Not with a second job, not with some other income, but in full-time ministry for 22 years. And God has never let him down. And God, right? Listen, if God says you can, you can. If peace is what you want, then believe that you've already received it. Walk in it regardless of what you're going through or what you're facing. And then look at verse 9, Philippians 4:9. Whatever you've learned, Paul said, or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Let the evidence of what you say you believe manifest in your life. Now here's the thing. So I don't know how. Find another believer that's further along in their faith than you are and say, hey, will you mentor me? Can I hang out with you? Can you show? I see you respond to situations and they ain't rocking your world. I'm going to hang around with you. Okay. And when I got a problem, can I call you? I'm going to pray too, but can I call you and you can help me walk through it and I can learn how to have the peace like you got the peace? Absolutely. That's what Paul said. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, get another believer around you, somebody who's a little further along, and put into practice what you see them do. And he said, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen? Would you stand with me? Walking in the gospel of peace is a choice we make. It's a belief we carry, and it's an evidence that we display. Today, we're making the choice to walk in the gospel of peace. We believe that we have this peace. Listen, it transcends understanding. It doesn't make sense. And we desire for our lives to reflect this evidence or the evidence of this peace. If your heart's desire today is to be evident that the peace of God is alive in you, regardless of what happens around you, I want you to come and join me here at the altar, and I'm going to pray for you. Now remember, if you have something going on in your life and you need prayer for whatever it is, as soon as I finish praying, we have altar prayer teams on either side in front of the curtains, and they'll pray for you whatever's going on in your life. Amen? All right, would you just raise your hands to heaven? Here we are, Heavenly Father. Here at this altar, God, we want and desire the peace of God that already dwells in us to be manifested in such a way that regardless of what happens to us or around us, God, all that people will see will be the Spirit of God rising up in us and the peace of God that transcends understanding, guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ. And I pray that they see the evidence of this peace in every decision that I make, in every situation that I face, and whatever it is that happens to me, let me give honor and glory to the name of Jesus by displaying what you've already done in my life. I give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for what you've done today. We ask you to walk with us as we go, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.